This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson coming at you from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas, Sirius XM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Three-game slate in the NBA is in the books, in case you missed it. The Sacramento Kings snapped their 16-game losing streak with a win at Memphis, 123-114. The Rockets topped the Jazz, 125-105, but the marquee game of the night went down earlier. It was the Spurs winning on the road in the Motor City, 114-103. To help us make sense of what we saw in that game, look at the Tuesday card as well. We welcome in now VSiN Senior Editor, also the host of Hardwood Handicappers. Download wherever you get your podcast. He is Zachary Cohen at Betting on X is where you can find him on X. And he joins us now in Cashing Out. So talk to me, man. Watching that Spurs win on the road at Detroit. You know, the Pistons are a fun team, but they're definitely limited in the help that Cade Cunningham has. What stood out to you about the way San Antonio was able to pick up the resounding win?
I think it stood out like what you just said. He doesn't have a lot of help. So when he doesn't play well and you could take him out of the game, there isn't much that's going to help them get back on track and find a way to win. I think that Duren, you know, had a really good game himself, at least offensively. But just besides those two, it is a really weak roster, which is why I've kind of felt like I've been taking crazy pills all year, because the numbers suggest this is the best team in the Eastern Conference. The record suggests they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. But I personally have them fourth when you look at that, you know, four-team tier atop the Eastern Conference. I just feel bad saying it, but that's just the way I see it. When you kind of look at what it would look like in a playoff series, I think they need to make a move in the offseason. I think that they're going to learn that in the postseason.
Hold on. They keep dominating the Knicks, and you think that the Knicks are better than them in the playoffs? Talk to me about this.
I think for as bad as the Knicks has looked in the regular season against them, it's not that different from what we saw last year when they lost every single game they played against the Celtics. But in the postseason, the defense gets a little bit better for New York. Nobody, you know, really stood out that much defensively in a bad way last year. And I think offensively, like, they're still going to have the Jalen Brunson hero ball to fall back on. I also will add, like, I think the Towns has looked a little bit better for the Knicks lately. I just kind of think when push comes to shove, if those two were playing one another in a playoff series again, I would just trust the Knicks to get the job done, as crazy as it might sound.
Well, how about the Cade Cunningham MVP case? I'll admit I'm fully biased. I have him 30-1 that we bet a few months ago. But I'm looking at the market right now. SGA's back down to minus 145, who I have him at plus 115, which I bet the second Jokic went down. I don't know how Jokic can win this award, Zach, at plus 290. The team is losing with him back in the lineup, and they had a winning record with him out of the lineup. Is there really a case where Cade Cunningham can win MVP? Because I'm not big on the analytics. I don't really understand them. You probably can make them more explainable to us. But the analytics would tell you that Cade Cunningham isn't worthy of MVP. Is that the case?
Yeah, I think they would tell you that he comes up just short of that conversation between the top two. He is like a top 10 player when you look at like estimated plus minus VORP value over replacement player over a Basketball Reference. Those numbers are really good at telling a story about how a player is playing throughout the season. But where you do have a chance is with the game limit. And SGA can only miss, what, six more games the rest of the season. And they did announce he's going to be missing another week. So it's going to be a very close call towards the end of the year, especially if it's a situation where, like, there's two games left, they're locked into their playoff spot. Do they want to risk playing SGA 20 plus minutes just for him to win the award and risk getting him injured for the postseason? It started to get really interesting with the game limit. I don't really think anybody wants to see the MVP award decided on that, but that is Cade's way in. I think that it is still a two-person race at the top, but it's becoming a lot closer than everybody thought because of the games.
Yeah, and if you do want to get in on Cade Cunningham MVP, if you're into what we've been talking about here, make sure you bet it at the right book. Caesars has him at 3.5-1. DraftKings has him at 5-1. FanDuel has him at 6-1. I think that's very important. That is a huge discrepancy from 3.5 up to 6-1 there with Cade Cunningham MVP. He is our MVP. He is Zachary Cohen, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, also VSiN senior editor. Let's start looking at the Tuesday card, because when we only have three games on a Monday, that means Tuesday is going to be pretty loaded. And you want to look at the Toronto Raptors here, catching 1.5, hosting the aforementioned Oklahoma City Thunder, 218.5 is the total. Talk to me about the handicap.
I just think that OKC is a little too shorthanded right now. I mean, not having SGA, not having Jalen Williams, maybe that's fine. But Chet Holmgren's questionable. AJ Mitchell's also out for them. Like, that's somebody they can throw the ball out to and allow him to kind of run the show when SGA's out. Just not having all of that against the sixth-ranked defense in the league in Toronto, where it's very tough for road teams to win, I think that's a lot to overcome, especially with OKC kind of coming off a really big win over Cleveland the other day. I feel like this is a spot where they could let their guard down, and the Raptors playing some good basketball quietly the whole season. Yeah, they've been pretty good. Like, they have like the statistical profile of like a top four team in the Eastern Conference, but I just think that nobody buys it, and I don't either.
Yeah, no, like, they have like that spread out young talent that's blossoming, but like there's a definite ceiling on this team. But Darko Rajakovic, he can coach, man. He is a good coach. Yep. He's getting a lot out of those guys. Let's go to Cleveland and the Knicks. Cavaliers laying 3.5, totals 230.5. And I'm with you. You can only look at Cleveland in this spot laying the points.
Yeah, this is just a game where it's really hard to imagine the Knicks winning at least what we've seen of New York over the last couple of games. I just thought it was really fortunate for them to end up coming out on top against Houston. I thought the Rockets outplayed them for like 3.5 quarters in that game, and I don't think that they looked good again. I thought that the defense looked very exploitable, and the Cavaliers now have one of the most cerebral backcourts in the league, a very good front court, and just all the depth in the world. It's funny. I thought that in a loss to Cleveland the other day, to OKC the other day, when they went down 25-5 or whatever that was, they just started throwing out every lineup that they could possibly imagine. And you just kind of see all of the backcourt depth that they have. They could bring Schroeder in. They could bring Ellis in. Tyson's already a really good wing. Wade's a good player. Once they get Max Strus back, if that ever happens, this team is just loaded. When you're talking about just the actual playoff rotation. And I do think they're going to be able to harm the Knicks, at least with their offense. And defensively, I think Cleveland shows up in a home game.
All right, next one up here for you. Let's talk about the situation. Warriors with an upset of Denver over the weekend. They now go to New Orleans where they're laying 1.5. Totals 224.5. And the Pelicans, DeJounte Murray's going to make his season debut coming off the Achilles, but no Trey Murphy in this matchup. But you don't care. You're going to take New Orleans plus the 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, I care. I would like to have Murphy out there, but yeah, New Orleans is coming off two full days of rest. I think that that's huge. Again, you're playing against a team like the Warriors, who right now just don't have any shot creators. I mean, Steph Curry is out. Jimmy Butler's obviously out for the whole season. Kristaps Porzingis still dealing with that illness that he's been dealing with for the better part of 2 years now. Seems like something that's going to really derail his entire career. And Draymond Green is questionable. So my question is, with New Orleans having a few days to prepare for this offense, how are the Warriors going to create efficient offense? I don't really see them doing it. And I do think the Pelicans are good enough offensively to score, enough against this Warriors team. It's not going to be pretty. Probably not a game you're going to want to watch, but I think New Orleans just has Golden State beat by a pretty wide margin when you're looking at the talent department.
Zachary Cohen is our guest, VSiN senior editor at Betting on X, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast, breaking down the NBA every single day. Download it wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to the Hornets and the Bulls, a game where I'm kind of liking the under in this one. Charlotte's an 8.5-point road favorite in Chicago. Total's 229.5. How do you want to play this?
Yeah, I'm going with the Bulls plus 8.5. I mean, I would like to get it a little bit more, but as long as I'm getting over 7.5, I'm going to take Chicago. I haven't put it in yet, but I wrote about these teams, all these tanking teams, a few days ago over at VSiN.com. There were 8 of them that I mentioned that have zero incentive to win the rest of the season. Most of those teams have been really embarrassing since I wrote it. So, kind of right on par with what I've been expecting. Chicago, though, is the only one. They are 2-1 against the spread in the 3 games that they've played since then. And I'm just at the point where I think that no matter who Billy Donovan has out there, he's going to find a way to get them to compete. And if you kind of look at Chicago compared to some of the other tanking teams, the situation's a little bit different. Like, they have a roster that doesn't make a lot of sense, but it is a roster full of kind of rotation players and guys that are trying to kind of, make some money in the future. It's not as, devoid of talent as you've seen with some of the other kind of league bottom dwellers. So I think as long as the Bulls are playing hard, they're going to be able to keep games close. And the Hornets, for as good as I think that they are, I don't think they're a team that I really trust to go on the road and win by double digits as long as the opponent has any, hope of winning.
Talk to me about the Eastern Conference real quickly before we let you go. You mentioned it earlier where you put the top four teams in there. If you know Jason Tatum is back and he can be 80% of what he previously was, where does Boston fit in that top four in the East for you?
Yeah, I would have the Celtics at probably number two. If I knew that Tatum's back, if he plays, you know, 10 games before the playoffs and, you know, they're comfortable throwing him out there in a playoff series, I'll feel pretty good about Boston because I think that Tatum, like you just said, like it's not going to be 100% of Jason Tatum. It might not even be 80, but it might be like 65, 70. And if that's somebody that can come off the bench and score 15 points, give you solid defense, that's a huge improvement over what they've had, you know, at the backup forward spot this season. I mean, Hugo Gonzalez has been awesome as a rookie. I'd like to see him stay in the rotation when Tatum's out there, but it's pretty clear that you're not going to be able to trust Baylor Shireman or Jordan Walsh, at least right now, in a playoff series. So replacing those guys with, let's say, I don't know, he's like an Andrew Wiggins type, and he can give you like decent scoring and solid defense. That seems huge for a Boston team that's already number two in the league in offensive rating. Defensively, you'd get a little bit better, a little bit bigger. And Tatum's been very vocal about realizing that this is Jaylen Brown's team now. So I'd be really surprised if there's any sort of who's the alpha, you know, controversy there. I just don't think that Tatum's coming in expecting that. So I think it's going to be Brown's team. Tatum's going to fill in as a complimentary piece, and it's just going to make the Celtics a lot better and a lot easier to trust in, you know, in a playoff run. So I would have the Cavaliers number one, the Celtics number two, the Knicks number three, and the Pistons number four. And like I said, I feel bad saying it, but it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's my priors getting in the way.
I love it. No, you got to take a stance. You got to live and die by it. Sometimes you'd be right. Sometimes you'd be wrong. But here's the thing. When you take the contrarian stance, what I would tell you is I'm wrong a lot. But that victory lap on the few times I'm right, man, it feels good because there's not a lot of people around you on the bandwagon. He's Zach Cohen. Check him out at Betting on X, VSiN.com for his daily write-ups. Also, Hardwood Handicappers is the podcast. Thanks, my friend. We'll chat again in a week.
Thanks. Talk soon.
All right, when we return, we'll attack the player props for the Tuesday card in the association. That's next on Cashing Out.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. Dustin Sweetelson here. You there. Thanks for making us part of your night. However you may be tuning in, SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Later on in the program, we will discuss the World Baseball Classic, some news about their starting pitching situation. I don't think it's major for them, but I think it's a huge boost for the team that this player plays for in Major League Baseball. I'll tell you who that is coming up here in about an hour and 15 minutes on the show. Before we start looking at NBA player props, let's at least look back at what went down earlier on Monday in terms of the NBA and college basketball. First, in college hoops, North Carolina won as a 2.5-point home dog against Louisville, 77-74. Game went under the total. As Louisville is just a team that I was on them early in the year, but I've bet them a few times recently and they've let me down. This is a game where the Tar Heels, despite not having Caleb Wilson, are not having a problem. As long as their guards can perform, they can find a way. And when they're at home, they just do not lose at home. Something you got to file away right now for that team. In case you missed it, Kansas, with the bounce back win off the loss to Cincinnati on Saturday, they beat Houston 69-56. For the first time in 3 years, you have a team in Houston losing three games in a row. I think I got that number wrong. For the first time since 2017, they've lost three games in a row. That's the correction. I know if I say something wrong, people are going to tweet me at Dustin Sweetelson at VSiN Live. Got to get the information right. Kansas continues a streak where they haven't lost back-to-back home games since the 88-89 season. They get off the schneid. They pick up the win against Houston. But I still think Houston's a team, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, I think maybe they'll get nicked for this and perhaps the futures odds go up. The market hasn't moved just yet. They're still 7.5-1 to win the title. I still think they're going to be there because this is a team with the way that they play, with the way they muck it up, the physicality, the defense leading the charge. they're going to, that's going to keep them a game in tournament play, especially when you factor in some of those shooting sight lines are an issue for teams. Houston doesn't care about shooting as much. They care about their defense. So with that, I still think Houston, if it balloons up above 10-1, you have to think about them in the futures market to win the title as an option. Now, looking at their losses this year for Houston, I just want to point this out because I did see it floating around during the break. I'm just going to pull it up here real quick. Our buddy Troy Macker from Bet Rivers put this up because someone was talking about Houston's losses. Houston has 0-5 in their five toughest games of the year. Loss at Louisville, loss versus Arizona, loss at Kansas, loss at Texas Tech when Toppin was healthy, and a loss versus Tennessee. And our buddy Troy Macker pointed out, all five teams in the top 20, four were on the road or on a neutral court. Only one was by more than 6 points, okay? In a dominant, scary Big 12, I think there could be an overreaction to what we saw from Houston tonight. So keep it monitored when you look at the futures market and where we stand with the Cougs going forward. All right, let's now look at the NBA player props coming up for Tuesday. I appreciate the NBA. You know, they had plenty of time to get these numbers up. So a lot of these player props are currently available. We do it every night in the show. We tackle the board by looking at the best and the worst player prop matchups for the following day. Here is where we stand. The top five that jumped out to me based on the numbers. Now, there's others I'm going to bet based on situation, but based on the numbers and the matchups, these are the five that make the most sense to me. I'm not betting all of them, but I'm probably going to bet a few of them. We'll begin with Derek White of the Boston Celtics as they take on a Phoenix Suns team that's dealing with a bunch of injuries. Booker's been injured. Dylan Brooks is going to be out for a few weeks. Grayson Allen's been in and out of the lineup. And the Celtics are laying 6.5 on the road. Total's low, 209.5. That is a very low total in today's NBA. Phoenix is really good against point guards. They allow the fifth fewest points per game, the third fewest assists per game. I think Derek White, if you want to go under on his PRA of 27.5, that is a bet I'm likely going to add here. You factor in what I just said about the low scoring output for the game with the low total. Well, theoretically, that means he should perform a little bit less as well. And we see Jaylen Brown is so ball dominant right now. Peyton Pritchard hasn't seen a shot he doesn't like when he gets the ball. I'm not sure Derek White knows exactly where he fits in. Last year against Phoenix, and I understand they were both very different teams at the time, he had 12-9-8. He had 16-4-7. I think 27.5 is a little bit lofty on Derek White. He's gone under this number in his four last games. Give me under 27.5 PRA on Derek White. The next matchup that jumped out to me on the Tuesday card, LaMelo Ball and the Charlotte Hornets going to Chicago to take on the Bulls. Hornets are 8.5-point road favorites. Total's 230.5. That's a high total. A lot of points, a lot of output offensively, which means maybe some more dimes for LaMelo Ball, taking on a Bulls defense that allows the third most assists per game to opposing point guards. His number's set at 6.5. That feels right, but I like the upside. I like the upside of going over on the 6.5. I could see him having 7 or 8 in this matchup against Chicago. In his last few games, he's had 7, 6, 7, 6, 4, 9. So over in, let's see, 1, 2, 3, about 50-50 most recently. But I don't know. Third most assist per game to opposing point guards. He'll be dishing it out, setting other guys up on the road in this spot with a high total. I like LaMelo over 6.5 assists. You do have to pay heavy juice, I should add, at -157. The next matchup, and this is another under that I think I'm on as well. No, I did bet this. I'm looking right now. I officially bet this. Emmanuel Quickley. So the Toronto Raptors are 1.5-point home dogs to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I know SGA is not going to play. A few guys may be out of the lineup for the Thunder as well. But the reality is the Thunder play great team defense. And I think that will still hamper Emmanuel Quickley as the Thunder allow the fewest points per game, the second fewest assists per game to opposing point guards. He did on January 25th have 23-11-2, but the two was assists. He didn't have a lot of assists in that game. And in fact, let me confirm that. I wrote it down, but sometimes, you know, you write things down in the middle of the day. You want to confirm that that's right. Yeah, he had 11 rebounds, 23-11-2 assists. He is very much a score first point guard, especially when he's going right. He likes to call his own number. That's not a knock. It's just a reality of the situation. I'm on under 5.5 assists for him. I won't go under on his 25.5 PRA because he is a very good bucket getter. I do think he could score there. His points are set at 16.5. Instead, let's go under 5.5 1.5 assists for Emmanuel Quickley, as OKC allows the second fewest dimes per game to point guards. In terms of power forwards, I am going back and forth on how I want to attack this one, but Evan Mobley's facing the Knicks. Cleveland's a 3.5-point home favorite in this game. And the Knicks are really good against power forwards. I didn't realize that. They allow the second fewest points per game, the third fewest rebounds per game to opposing power forwards. I think a lot of that is OG Anunoby and the defense he brings to the table, and perhaps Mitchell Robinson when he's on the floor and all the offensive rebounding that he does. Evan Mobley's point prop is set at 13.5. His rebounds are 6.5. His points plus rebound is 20.5, which 13.5 plus 6.5. By my math, that's 20. If we want to go under the 20.5, we are getting a little bit of value there, a bit of a hook more. Against the Knicks this year on Christmas Day, he did go over this number, 14-9-3 with 26. He also cleared it back on opening night on October 22nd, 22-8-3. That's a 33 PRA for him, but James Harden's here. James Harden on the floor with Evan Mobley in the last two games. Mobley's had 10-9-2, which does get over the 20.5 PRA, but also had 15-2-1, 18 on his PRA. If I'm going to do something here, I would lean under points plus rebounds for Evan Mobley, but I'm not sure I'm going to end up getting home with this bet. Now, this is a prop that wasn't up last I looked before the show. Let me see if I can see if it's available. But the final bet in the starting five that jumped out to me based on matchup is Donovan Klingon going up against Minnesota. And Klingon has been a rebound machine. The problem is on the other side, he's going to take on Rudy Gobert. And Rudy Gobert, for all of his faults that people like to make fun of him about, still very much an elite defender here. And I'm looking the rebound prop for Donovan Klingon. As Minnesota allows the fourth fewest rebounds per game to centers, Klingon is set at 12.5. You can get plus 105 juice to the under. Okay, I think I'm probably going to be on that. He's had 6-9 against the T-Wolves this season in terms of rebounding. And I know he's been on a good run lately, but that feels like a huge number. Hang on. Let me look at what he's done most recently. 13-9, 18-9, 7, 19-17, 15. So he's had some crazy numbers, but we're talking about against teams like Memphis and Utah. He's putting up these crazy numbers. He dominated Phoenix last time out under the glass. I'm going to bet that right now. I'm going under 12.5 at plus 105. If somebody can get a 13.5 and you can lay a little bit of juice, I don't hate that either, but we're adding Klingon under 12.5. So Klingon under 12.5 rebounds. Maybe I might actually go to PRA under on him there. I may adjust that one. Emmanuel quickly under 5.5 assists. Derek White under 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists. And LaMelo Ball over 6.5 assists. One more I'm going to add. We're going to go Jalen Brunson over 25.5 points against Cleveland. I just think that number is a little bit low with how big of a game this is for the Knicks and how he needs to get right coming off a bad game the other night. The College Hoops Grind is real, where real bettors find their edge. Dozens of games a night, constant line movement, and opportunity for those who know where to look. You're not going to beat billion-dollar short sports books or full-time sharps on your own. But with the Sharp Place, you don't have to. Free daily reports, real-time alerts, public logs, and transparent receipts. Results documented since 2011. SharpPlays.com, trusted by the pros, monitored by the books. Own the boards this college basketball season. Visit SharpPlays.com today. Who should we bet in the leaders market in Major League Baseball? Stolen base, saves, wins. Jeff Erickson breaks it down next.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing out rolls on from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We are approaching March, February 23rd, 24th now, depending on when you're tuning in, which means the World Baseball Classic's right around the corner, which means opening day is upon us very soon. We have to find a lot of bets, but also fantasy strategy. So let's start there with our next guest. He is the host of Prop Points, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time right here on VSiN. Jeff Erickson, a fantasy Hall of Famer, I believe, as well. RotoWire senior editor at Jeff_Erickson on X. Did I give you Stolen Valor? You are a Hall of Famer, aren't you? If you're not,
yeah,
you should
be. Yeah, the FSWA Hall of Fame. That was, I'm looking at the plaque, it's 2014.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Yeah, I'm old. But yeah, it, it Yeah, it's cool. It was a cool honor, and I don't mean to mean to discount it and all that. It's embarrassing sometimes to pump your own tires there every once in a while too, though.
Yeah, but hold on, because you've been doing it so long, you've seen so many different ways to approach the fantasy baseball game, and I think as players have changed, priorities have changed going into drafts. And I know you've been in the heat of draft season for a while now. You just got done with a 3-hour draft with some of the best experts around the country. As you've started to find a rhythm in what you're looking for, anything really jumping out to you about maybe categories or certain players or situations that are going earlier or later than you expected?
Yeah, well, and it's fun. You got to always kind of adjust for the draft that you're in. I think that's the first thing you need to do when you're preparing for any draft. Like, for instance, tonight is the LABR draft, League of Alternative Baseball Reality. It's the OG series of industry leagues. It first started, I think, 1995, 93, maybe. And it was put together by John Hunt from Baseball Weekly, which became Sports Weekly, USA Today. And originally was a one AL-only league, one NL-only league. It's been expanded to have a couple of mixed leagues as well, including the one I did tonight. And it's great. It's a great number of experts in our industry, really good players, and it's good to knock heads with them. But it's different because it's a standalone league as opposed to, say, like the NFBC, which are full of great players, and there's also an overall contest. So the priorities change a little bit there. If you want to play a punting strategy, you can. You want to punt saves? Okay, punt saves. You want to giving up a category or, be weak at one thing position and maybe trade for it later in the season. You can. It's a trading league, whereas opposed to these contests where there's absolutely no trading allowed. So it's a different sort of skill. And I like playing all different formats. So it's just, you have to be, ready for that when you come in, including just how you acquire players during the course of the season too.
Jeff Erickson is our guest, RotoWire senior editor, the host of Prop Points here on VSiN, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern time, alongside Nick Whalen. So before I get to some of your bets that you like for this year, I'm just curious, when you hear the news that Tarek Skubal is only going to pitch one game in the World Baseball Classic for Team USA, I think coming off what we just saw with the hockey and the national pride, there's some people who are bummed about it, but I think Tigers fans, I think fantasy players, I think a lot of people like to hear what they saw in Tarek Skubal only pitching in one game for Team USA. What do you make of the Tigers this year? The addition of Framber Valdez, a young squad on the come up, maybe ahead of schedule the last 2 years. Do you believe they're a real threat to win the American League?
Yeah, they are. I'll address Skubal first of all, because keep in mind, he had that, really a hyped up arbitration hearing between he and the Tigers. They famously lowballed him in the initial offer and they lost because of that there. But he's not covered for the future. He's covered for this year. He doesn't have his long-term deal. They're going into, as you and I were discussing off air before going in, this may be the last, we may not have a full season in 2027. Lockout by the owners. So point is, Skubal is going to have to really protect himself for a potential payday. So I understand completely how he doesn't want to take himself too far out of line. There is a reasonably long track record of pitchers that have down years or get hurt from pitching in the World Baseball Classic if they exert themselves too much. So I think this is a prudent path, even though it's maybe not the best path for the WBC, but I totally understand why. To answer your Tigers question, yes. First of all, I think they're in the right division. I think you look at Kansas City, they're on the upswing. I think they have some interesting young players. Cleveland aggressively did nothing this offseason. Their biggest signing was just the other day. It's Rhys Hoskins to a minor league deal. They didn't do anything this offseason except extend J-Ram. Now, they have some young players they're trying to create space for, Chase DeLauder, George Valera, namely. But I'm left a little cold by what they did this offseason. Minnesota is going to probably tear it down even more at the trade deadline. They just already lost Pablo Lopez. Point is, it's a good division for them to be in to get out, not just win the division, but win enough games that they might get the 1 or 2 seed in the American League, skip a round of the playoffs, get that home field advantage later on. And now that they added Framber Valdez, some of their younger pitchers are going to take the next step up. This is a team that could be pretty dangerous in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think it's a sneaky, decent odds to win the World Series. I think Adam Burke was highlighting them in the betting guide at 25-1. I definitely like their over on their win total, 85.5. And their division odds, I think, are decent enough, too, that I would play that.
Yeah, 11-1 to win the pennant, 25-1 to win the World Series. I understand why anyone, especially with those two guys at the front, and also with the potential CBA coming up, they can be big buyers at the deadline at whatever contracts they want, because there is no tomorrow for this team. Jeff Erickson's our guest tomorrow. He'll be on Prop Points, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. RotoWire senior editor at Jeff_Erickson on X. Let's talk about the leader markets. I've started to have a little bit more fun with them the last couple of years. I have a couple of home run bets I'm looking at this year. I need to dabble a little bit more into the pitching and the steals. So this is a good jumping off point for us. You have two guys you like to be the stolen base leader this year. One at 20-1, one at 14-1. Why do you like these two in this market?
So dabble is the right term here. I was kind of digging in to take a look around at some of the ones that are not obvious favorites. Some of the not like super long shots either, but something you can get a decent payout if you're right. So the first guy I brought up was Victor Scott at 2,000 plus 2,000 with on DK is the best place, the best odds that you can get for him there. And point is, with these futures bets, shop around. The price is very, the odds vary quite a bit. So you want to do this. So the case for Victor Scott is twofold. One, you know, besides just the speed, you know, he's got a manager that allows players to run. His stolen base opportunity stat was over 35% last year. And the Cardinals are in a situation where they're probably not going to be playing for a whole lot on the line. The cost of a caught stolen base isn't that, you know, punitive for them. I don't think he's going to see a red light if he gets caught five or six times. They'll probably let him keep running. You see this on bad teams all the time. It's a good way to, you know, in your fantasy leagues, to find like maybe that cheapo stolen base guy at the end of your drafts. Try to look for the bad team sometimes. The fast guy on a bad team probably gets more stolen base chances. The other guy, Jose Caballero, actually led Major League Baseball in stolen bases last year. I don't think everybody knew that. You're getting him at 14-1 over at MGM right now. And you compare that to other markets where it's like 10-1, 11-1. You know, again, shop around. But, you know, you want to talk about stolen base opportunity. And it didn't matter whether it was the Rays or the Yankees. He had a mega green light. It was 59% with the Rays, 69% with the Yankees. So you love, and stolen base opportunity is like, it's defined as when the player is on base, has an open base in front of him, has that opportunity to run. How often does he actually take that opportunity? He takes it over half the time. So you like that. He qualifies in fantasy at second, third, short, and outfield. So there's a lot of uses for Caballero as well from a fantasy standpoint.
Let's go now to the wins leader. You have a guy that I think everyone's high on this year in Kyle Bradish. Let's just kind of focus on him. 66-1 to be the wins leader. I know he's a very trendy pick, about 30-40-1 for AL Cy Young. What do you see out of this guy that makes everyone believe that he's capable of being this frontline ace that Baltimore so desperately needs this year?
It's high strikeouts, low walks. The K percentage minus the walk percentage is just a really revealing stat. If you get over 20% in that stat, you've got yourself a really good pitcher. The question for Bradish, obviously, is the durability. He's missed so much time in the past. I think he had, what, 7 starts for the Orioles last year. So there's some questions on that. I'd much prefer trying to take a little sprinkle in the wins market than something on the Cy Young Award where you're dealing with the voters' mentality. I don't think the Orioles are going to be especially good this year. So I'd rather bet on the player than bet on the award, which is at the whim of voters.
He is Jeff Erickson. Catch him here on VSiN, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern. Prop Points alongside Nick Whalen. Read him over at rotowire.com. We'll have a lot more with baseball, fantasy baseball strategy, futures, and very soon. I mean, we're just a couple weeks away from the World Baseball Classic. Appreciate you making time as always tonight, my friend. We'll chat again in 1 week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dustin.
Awesome stuff from Jeff per usual. I mean, I've been consuming Jeff's stuff forever. Not to make him feel old now as he's still on the line, but I've been consuming him for a very, very long time. So I love getting to chat with him every single week here on the show. Hey, if you're betting college hoops, now is the time to get your edge. Right now, you can get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $29.99 with our Hoops Mania special. You'll also get our March Mania betting guide, packed with team breakdowns, betting trends, future strategies, and picks from VSiN's top analysts. If you're planning to bet college hoops, VSiN Pro gives you a real edge. Sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. When we return, this NBA coach, 15-11, covering the number as a home dog of 6.5-12. I'll tell you who that is next.
to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rolling along here on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson. You're locked into VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. A lot to come throughout the week as far as the NFL Combine is concerned. We'll hear from a lot of coaches tomorrow on the show. Then Thursday, the Underwear Olympics begin. As you know, the NFL draft is like my favorite thing of the year. It's legitimately my favorite sporting event of the year. It's better than the Super Bowl. It's better than opening weekend of March Madness. I love the NFL draft. So maybe at the end of this week, I'll unveil my first mock draft of the season. There will be many of them. I will adjust them throughout the year. That way I can be right as many times as possible. I can reference, well, mock draft 1.0, I was right 10 times. And then mock draft 1.2, whatever it is, however you name these things, 2.0, I'll then come out and say, well, yeah, I was right on this many, but then I was also right on these, even though they may have opposite opinions in each subsequent mock draft. I think it's the best way to hedge your bets, to act like you know what you're doing, is to just keep unveiling mock draft after mock draft, because eventually you'll be right about something. So more on that later on in the week. But right now, at this point in the night, I do like to start looking ahead as these odds are posted. And during the break, I fired on a bunch of college basketball bets. I have a few NBA that I'm looking at as well. And what we like to do is cherry pick the trends that we like, right? Because you look at the information now, there is an oversaturation that you can find supporting information for whatever you want to do. If you want to bet on an under, there will be info out there to bet the under. If you want to bet the over, that's available as well. You want to choose either the side, the dog, the favorite, the home, away, whatever it is, you can find supporting info. And I think a lot of people in the industry do it. And we sometimes like trends, because trends, I'll always compare it to this. If you watch the movie Tommy Boy, Chris Farley is selling brake pads to a guy. And the guy's like, you don't have a warranty on the box. And he says, yeah, that's because our product's good. He goes, I don't care. I need a warranty on the box. A warranty helps me sleep at night. Lets me know your brakes are going to work, that you're guaranteeing it. Where's the guarantee on the box? A trend, while it is not a guarantee, it does make you feel good about where you stand on your bet, because what it says is when the market perceives this person, this coach, this team, this player in this role, this is how they perform. So with that, let's start looking at some college basketball trends that jumped out to me as far as the Tuesday card is concerned in college hoops. We're going to begin with Rutgers hosting Washington. You got Washington coming off a loss on the road at College Park to Maryland. Now they're 5.5 road favorites at Rutgers. Steve Piquiel, the head coach for Rutgers, is 22-12 against the spread as a home dog of 6 or less. Not a very good team overall, but in this spot as a home dog, they do perform pretty well at this number. I'm going to take the Scarlet Knights catching the points in this role, taking on a Washington team that just is not very good. Danny Sprinkle's a good coach. They're going to get it right. You don't love doing it in a situation where they're coming off a loss to Maryland, but I also think like those situations show themselves a little bit more as opportunities when that team's actually good. Washington's not very good. I think they're going to struggle at Rutgers. They should win, but I don't think they cover the 5. DraftKings has a 5.5 right now. The next trend we want to look at, look, there's bounce back spots and then there's fade spots. And no one is riding a higher high than Cincinnati and Wes Miller. And he does not perform well coming off of this situation. Cincinnati is on the road at Texas Tech. Red Raiders are laying 6 right now in the market. And Wes Miller is only 3-9 covering the number off of a road conference win. He just beat Kansas at Allen Fieldhouse. That does not happen often. Now he has to go to Texas Tech in Lubbock. And I know the fallen star theory, they've already won their game without JT Toppin. I still think they have enough firepower to take care of a low-scoring defensive Cincinnati team on the road. Arizona and Tommy Lloyd, they've had 3 straight unders. And after 3 straight unders, Tommy Lloyd is 12-5 to the over. Arizona is taking on Baylor on the road in Waco. Total is 154.5. So the over might be the play to look at in Arizona and Baylor. Tennessee and Rick Barnes, rivalry game this past weekend. They win as 4.5-point road dogs at Vanderbilt. Now Tennessee is in an interesting spot going to Missouri. And Missouri likes to play with a little bit more offense, but the Vols are still 4.5-point favorites on the road. Total is 144-145.5. Rick Barnes, off of an upset conference win as an underdog, is only 4-15 covering the number. I'm taking Missouri catching the 4.5, 3.5, depending on what I can get right now. What did I get just now? I think I got 3.5. I did not see in a 4.5 out here. So I took 3.5 with Missouri during the break. And then the last two up here, Jay Lucas, the head coach for Miami, looking for a rebound as they lost by 3 to Virginia on Saturday. Now they go to Florida State, who beat them last time around. Jay Lucas is 4-0 covering the number when the spread is between +3 to -3, which tells me he performs well in close games. Right now, this thing's ballooned up from 2 up to 3. So I guess a 1-point move, not really ballooned up. Maybe I exaggerated that. Either way, we open 2. We're up to 3 with Miami laying it. At this point, I may not lay the 3. I liked it better at 2, obviously. I think this is going to be a very close game, but I do think Miami in a revenge role takes care of business against the Noles. And then finally, our last trend here is with UCLA and USC, rivalry game with the Bruins laying 6.5, totals at 150. Mick Cronin, mostly an under coach in his career. He is, however, 27-16 to the over at home when the total's in the 140s with UCLA. USC likes to get up and go a little bit more with the way that Eric Musselman coaches the offensive side of things. And really, the Bruins have a lot more firepower than they've had in years past. Give me the over. I just bet the over in that game. It was lower than I anticipated. Let me see what it was real quickly. Over was 150. Over of 150 in USC and UCLA, and I bet it here at Circa. So that's college basketball, the cherry-picking trends we're looking at for Tuesday. Now let's hit the NBA trends that jumped out to me. And if you guys know me by now, if you don't know me by now, is that how that song goes? I don't even know. I don't even know who sings it. It just came into my head. Jared Moore's like, don't ask me, my producer. He's like, do not ask me who sings that song. I don't know who sings the song. Stop asking me questions I don't know. I don't know who sings that song. You guys tell me at VSiN Live, at Dustin Sweetelson. But if you know me by now, I don't bet a lot of sides and totals in the NBA. However, there are a couple speaking to me coming up here on Tuesday. And the first one is with Indiana. Pacers host the Sixers. They're catching 9 points at FanDuel, pretty much 8.5, 9 at most other locations. Pacers catching it. Rick Carlisle, as a home dog of 6.5 to 12, is 15-11 against the spread, 20-6 to the over. Total's a little bit high. I'll take the 9 if I can get it. 8.5, I'm fine with Indiana. I like them. I like them a lot as a home dog. Oklahoma City, Mark Daigneault. And the Thunder going on the road to Toronto, where they're laying a point. In fact, Circa has this game as a pick'em. Total is 218, anywhere from 217.5 up to 219. But Daigneault is 54-40 covering the number, 52-41 to the under, revenging a home loss to a team. So they lost at home to Toronto. Now they're revenging that game. How about Cleveland? Laying 3.5, hosting the New York Knicks. Kenny Atkinson is a guy I'm looking at in this spot. As a home favorite of 6 or less with the Cavaliers, he's 10-6 covering the number, 10-7 to the over. We're going to go now to Milwaukee, where the Bucks are hosting Miami. Heat are laying 5.5 on the road. Your total in that one is 228. Doc Rivers off of a home loss, 22-13 to the under. Something you have to consider because Spoelstra's a really good tactician, and you have to imagine defense could be a key for them as a favorite on the road here. I'd think about the under in that game. How about New Orleans taking on Golden State? The trend that jumps out to me here with the Warriors is 1.5-point road favorites and a total of 223.5 is James Borrego, the head coach for New Orleans, 6-1 to the under when playing with 2 days of rest. And then finally, Orlando goes to the Lakers. And the Lakers are laying 5, total is 230.5. But Orlando's Jamal Mosley, their head coach, as a road dog of 6.5 to 12, is 37-27 against the spread. Now, that trend makes a lot of sense to me. But the trend that I really don't have a number to share with you is the LA Flu. The reason why I won't actually be getting there with Jamal Mosley, even though he's 10 points over 500 against the spread as a road dog of 6.5 to 12 with the Magic, is Orlando just beat the Clippers on Sunday. They had a night to celebrate in Los Angeles. There are traditionally lingering effects for teams that suffer from this, having success in Los Angeles and then spending a night or two there to go out on the town. When you live in Orlando, it's a fine city. Mickey Mouse makes it his home. You understand some of the appeal of being in Florida, no state income tax. We got that in Nevada. It's one of the reasons why I love living here. But it is not quite Los Angeles, especially for those guys. So I do believe they had a little bit of fun in the last 24 to 48 hours there. Because of that, I would not bet Orlando. I would think about maybe the under in that game, although the Lakers don't play a lick of defense. If you want to cash more tickets year-round, it starts with better information, not guesses. Just Win Bets, baby, uses mathematical models and AI-driven analysis to help you spot spot value and make sharper decisions before the line moves. From college hoops to the NBA, NHL, UFC, and international soccer, they're breaking down markets across the board. They also go live every Friday with a full weekend betting preview. Right now, their picks are free for a limited time. Just scan the QR code on your screen and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. It's Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up next, a conversation with pro sports bettor Chris Massaro. We'll talk college basketball, some maybe futures we can jump on, but more importantly, what did he see from his Celtics in person over the weekend? That's next on Cashing Out.